are strange and distant and mean nothing to us, would come to be ways and words that you use to teach us about yourself and teach us about ourselves, words that actually encourage us to keep trusting in you as a speaking, saving, redeeming word. And we ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, the question that I think we're asking this morning is, what is the point of a reading like that from the Bible? Often demonstrating that I spent most of the time this week practicing how to say all those names. Or maybe part of the fact that it gives us a choice of some exotic and unusual baby names. What is the point of this? Stu and Gigi have finally settled on the name for their baby. Spoken. And also, if you listen to the news this week, it's full of the dire warnings Christians to understand this world and to respond to it. Well, here in Genesis chapter 10, we have some happening. You can see, if you look at the service, there's a brief outline, and you can see there are two points from Genesis chapter 10, and then four more specific applications to our context here in Fulham. And the first point you can see that we understand from Genesis chapter 10 is that cultural diversity is all from one man, the cultural diversity is all from one man. And you get that very clearly mentioned in that first verse, the head of the chapter, Genesis chapter 10, verse 1. This is the account of Shem and Jacob. No sons to themselves had sons of God. No three sons had sons, who in turn had sons. And each generation, as they came along and added to that family, moved away from presumably where they are and to rest at the end of the time. And they began to settle in new places and found new and different ways of doing things. Began to develop different traditions, different cultures, and in time, different languages. We've got here a map that's on screen that tries to explain, tries to describe what's being said here in Genesis chapter 10. You can see on the map, really speaking, the descendants of Jacob, that's the red bit across the top of the map, they went north from where they are, maybe west, and then west, northwest into Europe, and then east across into Asia, through what is now Iran. Ham is a marine descendant, went south predominantly into Egypt and northern Africa, then further south into Africa, and down into this Arabia, southern Arabia, the one there. And also they went east into places like Babylon, what is now Iraq. And then it's the descendants of Shem, there and there. And then the rest say where they were, just edged further south into Arabia itself. Shem, Ham, and Jacob, not just three brothers in that time, they stand for the original family of all families and tribes and cultures that spread across the earth. All the cultural diversity and difference that we see here, all originally comes from one family. And that is an important observation, particularly for those of us who may feel overwhelmed or fearful or suspicious of people and cultures that are different from our own. Because for all our difference, we actually belong together. We're related. We're family. That's what the Bible is saying in Genesis chapter 10. But that's also an important observation for those who respond to cultural difference and racial distinctiveness by feeling not fearful or suspicious, but by feeling superior, better than those who are different to them. But they respond by looking down on or despising those who are treating them with hatred or disgust, because for all the others, we actually belong together from the same family, Shem, Ham, and Jacob. Cultural diversity is not bad. And then secondly, cultural diversity is good. That's a clear message from Genesis chapter 10, which isn't a point of view, depending on just how you're writing, you happen to be. It's a point of theology that this part of the Bible is making. Look back to what God says in chapter 9, just across the page, on page 10 of the Bibles. The first time of men, as we're reading the account, God's creation in a brand new start after the flood. And look at what God says to Noah. Chapter 9, verse 1. Then God blessed Noah and his son, saying to them, be fruitful and increase in number and fill the earth. And then look at verse 7. As for you, he said to Noah and his sons, be fruitful and increase in number, multiply on the earth, and increase upon it. And of course, if you round a few weeks ago, we were looking at Genesis chapter 1, right from the beginning of the start of creation, you'll remember that that is pretty much exactly what God has said to Adam, first time around. Be fruitful, increase, multiply, fill the earth. God wanted humans, as the pinnacle of his creation, to increase and to fill the earth. And the result of that direct command from God was, according to Genesis chapter 10, cultural, racial, us as humans in this creation. It is therefore a good thing. It's what God intended for us as humans. Not one culture, one people, speaking one language in one place, but this, different people, speaking different languages in different places all over the world. We find that here at the beginning of the Bible, in God's plans for his restarted creation after the flood. But we find it at the very end of the Bible, as though the plan reached their fulfillment. So turn with me in your Bible, to the very end of the Bible, to the last book of the Bible, to the book of Revelation, to page 1238. Page 1238. Revelation chapter 7 and verse 9. The book of Revelation is a vision of heaven that God gave to one of Jesus' disciples, a man called John. And in chapter 7, John describes what he sees. John describes in Revelation chapter 7, verse 9. After this I looked, and there before me was a great multitude that no one could count, from every nation, tribe, people, and language, standing before the throne and before the Lamb. They were wearing white robes and were holding palm branches in their hands. And they cried out in a loud voice, "Salvation belongs to our God, who sits on the throne, and to the Lamb." Heaven, we find, as we turn to the end, is multicultural. It's made up of people from every nation, tribe, group, and language. The multitude that no one can number. And all of them, in their own languages, singing the same song that we will read up here, one verse of it in English. Salvation belongs to our God, who sits on the throne and to the Lamb. The Lamb is Jesus Christ, the Lamb who was slain, the Lamb who was sacrificed in his death on the cross for the sins of all who put their trust in him. And they come, we discover, from every nation. They come from everywhere on earth to fill the world of heaven. Heaven is multicultural, it's culturally diverse, because cultural diversity is good. It's God's intention for his creation, for us as humans from the very beginning, which is why we find it at the end. Cultural diversity existing in perfect harmony and unity for all eternity. That's heaven. Cultural diversity is all about heaven, and it's good. But so what? So what? How do the two points in Genesis 10 relate to us today? How do they inform who we are as those people here? Absolutely. There's three applications that I think will get increasingly practical as we look at them together. The first one, which is the first arrow, is this. Don't confuse culture with sin. Don't confuse culture with sin. What do I mean by that? Well, there are two different cultures that are mentioned in Genesis chapter 10. I didn't count them, anyone wants to tell me at the end. That would be very helpful. There are 11, let me have a look at verse 16, we're back in Genesis chapter 10, on page 11. Jebusites, Amorites, Girgashites, Hivites, Arvites, Sinites, Arvites, Zemites, and Hamathites. As you read on the Bible from Genesis 10, what you find is that quite a number of these mites, these different people, these different cultures, they come under God's judgment. Some of them are even entirely wiped out. When that happens, and it does if you read on, these different people groups are not being judged for being different, for being Hittites or Jebusites instead of Israelites. They're being judged for their sin, for their disobedience, their disregard of God, but actually making them express in some truly dreadful ways. In particular, child sacrifice is one of the sins that they're often held accountable for. Being different isn't a sin. Disobeying and disregarding God as your creator is. Cultural it's God's plan for the world. But every single culture in its difference is somehow affected and marked by human sinfulness. We don't get those two things confused. When God judges people, he judges our sin, not our diversity. Don't confuse culture, especially culture with diversity and sin. But then secondly, don't confuse culture with faith, especially Christian faith. Don't confuse culture with faith. They are the same thing. As we say, heaven will be populated from people from many different cultures and nationalities. Christians come from all over the world, from many different nations. If you can ask many British people today, are you a Christian? They would say, yes, I am a Christian. And if you can ask that British person why they think they are a Christian, they would say, because I'm British. Do you see what they've done? They've made an atheist mistake. They confuse their culture with faith. Being British doesn't make you Christian any more than being Chinese makes you Buddhist. There are more Christians in China in church today than in the whole of Western Europe put together. Being British doesn't make you Christian any more than being Chinese makes you Buddhist. Christians, including many of you there are, British people who think they're Christians and make this mistake. So don't confuse culture and sin, don't confuse culture with faith. And thirdly, a religion in Rome, how do we respond to the ethnic and cultural diversity that we find around us in the world? We've got a map, another map, and on the world, where our land is in the world. You can see that clearly. But you can see clearly that the dark end of the mass are for parish or some pages. Now, we lie across three different council rules, town rule, from the Great War and Master Rule. And yet, the next statistic from the recent 2011 census for those three rules to get on the local areas look like this. 76% of Indian legendary rules are white, 5% mixed, 7% Asian, 8% black, and 4% other. That is the cultural diversity around us. And then if you take that, just that one line of white, which is an interesting line, where are you going to learn from? Of people in America who are white, 67% are British. And 29%, nearly a third, are other. And if you drill down in that statistics, what you find is that the vast majority of that 11% are French. What we make of the cultural diversity that is on our doorstep in this community? Is that sort of cultural diversity in our local community reflected in the Christian community that serves it? Our strategy as a church is this, that we want to be a gospel-centered community for the heart of Fulham and beyond. Well, here is the heart of Fulham. In all this ethnic diversity, how are we as a church reaching them to give you to Jesus Christ? Is this a welcoming place to be? Is this somewhere where we can help people from many different cultures discover for themselves that being Christian is not about being British, but being Christian is actually about knowing and loving and never being able to worship Jesus Christ in heaven for all eternity? We have our services in English on Sundays at 10 a.m. and 6:30 to 10 a.m. not 10:15, just in case anyone was later than I'm about to impress you. 10 a.m. 6:30 in English on Sunday. In simply organizing ourselves as a church to gather publicly at those times, we are inadvertently excluding people from different cultures, tribes, and languages. That in unity. Maybe digging this is part of Fulham, we need to think carefully about the French. The biggest, the majority, the minority community in this part of Fulham. fantastic that more and more French people are joining us here for our services in English on Sundays at 11:30. But what are we doing, what are we thinking about in reaching the local refugees at the beginnings of Jesus Christ? I'll come back to those statistics in a moment for some Q&A, but one final application to think about the life of the church and how the Bible teaches about culture and language and diversity from Genesis 10 impacts on us, and that is our language schools. We have three large language schools in our immediate parish. One of them has over 1,000 students coming through it each year. So that's maybe the range of 3,000 international students coming right here to our course today to learn English. At the moment, we're actively looking for a grant to enable us to take on daily parts of our group of meeting an extra day a week, so that he and Zoe who are fresh from their summer cross-cultural mission in Japan can be given a new area of ministry, a new outreach to these international students to reach them and the people of Jesus Christ. It's a very exciting new initiative for the new year. And if that's something that you have a passion for immediately, it's something you will be excited and do speak to David or to Zoe about how you can be involved in that. How we as a church can more effectively celebrate the cultural diversity and that God has put into this world, and how we can respond to it so that heaven is populated with people from every nation and culture as well. I think it is in the prayer that we can't be crazy for the diversity that you welcome into the whole of your direction, particularly this morning, thinking about the diversity of peoples and cultures and nations and language that you have created to reflect your diversity and your complexity and unity. Other believers have been so often by those differences that it's simply just not something to celebrate, but something to fear, something that confounds us and confuses us. But we do that as humans, and we can do that as Christians who know we as God. We pray that we understand our world better through your word, and you will enable us and equip us in that way to reach this diverse world, the wonderful good news of Jesus Christ. You help us